Hi, good morning. I'd like to encourage us with a few passages of scripture in Acts chapter 3. And as I was reading this a couple weeks ago, a couple of scriptures jumped out at me. And I just wanted to encourage us with these scriptures. We're going to stay in Acts chapter 3 and 4, so we won't be jumping around. So let's read from verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to him in the porch, which was called Solomon, greatly amazed." And let's jump down to verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes to him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And then a couple more verses in chapter 4, it says, "However, many of those who heard and the word and believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Verse 10 of chapter 4, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you all. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which by we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Verse 16, What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them, and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." And then the last one in verse 22, "For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed." And so when I was reading it, the scripture that actually jumped out to me was in chapter 4, when it says this man was over 40 years old. And in this society that we live in, when you're over 40, it's like basically, like if you try to get a job, if you try to do anything over 40, it's basically like, you know, you almost say life is over, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like you're on the other side now. It's like, you know, it's basically when we look at somebody over 40, but you can't change this person, right? This person is stuck in their ways. You can't do anything with this person. And this is probably what people, when they saw this guy, when they saw him in front of the temple, they probably looked at him and said, well, he's over 40 years old. He's been crippled all his life. Nothing can change him. And I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ can change. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what stage you are in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ can change your life. And that's what the beautiful thing I love about the Lord is that it doesn't matter. It's not like the world where, you know, again, if you try to go for a career after 40 or you try to get a job after 40, you start something new after 40, people are saying, well, it's too late, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could use this person. And so we see here that Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. And this man, he was laying in front of the gate of the temple. He didn't enter in. He didn't go into the temple, but he was in front of the temple, right? And so there's many people that we see today, right? They are scared to come into the church, or they're scared to come to the Lord, right? You know what I'm saying? They stand outside because they don't think they're worthy. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ sees you, and he's saying that he can change your life. He can make you worthy. The Bible says, so all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us deserve to be in the place that we're in. But the Lord Jesus Christ is calling each and every one of us. But this person, this man right here, it says, a certain man lame from his mother's womb, he was carried and they laid him daily at the temple. So they only put him this far, right? And I'm telling you, nobody can help you. No matter if you try to go, look, you can try to go to different people, try to get, you know, self-help gurus and everything. There's no other way that you can get saved but the Lord Jesus Christ. These people tried to help this man, right? And they only could lay him thus far. They brought him in front of the gate, but they couldn't get him in. They couldn't heal him. They couldn't provide for him. So it says here that they just laid him at the gate. That's as far as they could take it. I'm telling you that if you are in your sins this morning, I'm telling you that the only way you can get saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can get your life changed is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other person that can help you, right? I mean, like, you know, I remember growing up, you know, my parents, they tried to instill the word of God into me. You know what I'm saying? I tried to impart it to my kids also, but I can't not. I can only get them thus far, right? You know what I'm saying? The only person who can bring you further is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that they went in that as we go on, it says, who seeing Peter and John going into the temple for alms. So he started to beg. And this is what he thought he needed, right? And sometimes when you're in that state, you think you need something, but you really need something else, right? You know what I'm saying? That this man thought he needed money, which would have been a temporary fix. And that's the thing, is that many people in this world today, they're looking for a temporary fix. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's people who turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, they turn to women, they turn to their job, they bury themselves because they're trying to get away from the reality, right? They're trying to get away from reality. And this is what this man was doing. His reality was that he was poor, he was crippled, and he just wanted something to get him just that temporary fix. But I'm glad that Peter and John weren't going to give him that temporary thing. Is that he was begging for alms. And he says, he fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter said, look at us. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to grab our attention with, is that this man probably was looking at everybody. He was looking at people who were coming, going. He was looking, who's the next person I could get my money from? Who's the next person? So he's seeing Peter and John, he's begging, but he's like, all right, yeah, you give me the money, but let me get these other people coming. But Peter said, look at us. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. He wants us to look to him. Stop looking at everything around us. Stop looking for that comfort in other things of this world. He wants us to look at him. He wants us to basically remove all the things that are in our vision and keep our eyes fixated on him. And Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, but he was expecting to receive something from them. So he was looking at them, but he was looking to receive something that he thought he needed. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Peter says, we haven't been saved by corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Is that our salvation wasn't secured by money, by anything. There's nothing we could have given. There's nothing we could have done to secure our salvation. It only had to be done by the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he's saying, that they don't have any silver and gold. But what they're giving was going to give him something that was going to last for a long time. That was going to last for eternity. And he says, get up, rise up, and walk. And that's the thing, is that if you're in your sins, you know what? You're crippled. You cannot walk this pathway yourself. You cannot walk. You know what I'm saying? Basically, you're destitute. Right? And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that can make you rise up and walk. And he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And when we read, it says, there's no other name given amongst men whereby men can be saved. It's the only name that can heal. There's only the only name that can raise people from the dead. It's the only name that can save. And this is the name that he called upon. And he said, rise up and walk. And he told him to rise up and walk. But he also took him by his right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And this was a miracle. And I'm telling you that there's miracles that happen every day. There are people who the world has disregarded. There's people who the world has said, you know what? We don't want anything to do with them. As you said, this man was over 40 years old. You know, the world had said, like, this is going to be his life. You know what I'm saying? This is where he's going to be, right? But the Lord Jesus Christ took him, you know what I'm saying, used Peter and John to take him by his right hand and lifted him up. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do for each and every one of us and has done for each and every one of us, is that he takes us by his right hand. The right hand in scripture speaks of fellowship, that he takes us and he brings us into a place of fellowship with him. We were people who were sinners. We didn't have any fellowship with God. But because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say that we have fellowship with him. He brings us his right. He takes us by our right hand and he lifts us up. He takes us from a place where we were heading to hell, and he brings us up. He lifts us up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. And feet and ankle speak of a walk, and the walk in scripture also speaks of testimony, right? And so now we have him, that he has a newness of life. He has a testimony. He has something that he has a purpose to his life. He no longer has to sit begging and asking for alms. And then I love this last part. They told him to walk, but it says he started leaping and stood and walked and entered the temple with them and walked leaping and praising God. And this is how the Lord Jesus Christ can change our lives. Right? This is somebody who was destitute by the gate. Right? He had no purpose in life. Everybody had written him off. Society, everybody. But the Lord Jesus Christ had a purpose for him, and he brought joy to his life. Imagine somebody who was crippled is now leaping. He stood up, he walked, he entered the temple. This is somebody who didn't feel he was worthy to enter the temple. Right? He didn't feel he was worthy to enter in. Right? He now has a standing. He now has a place to enter into the temple. And he says, walking and leaping and praising God. And that's the thing, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that could bring joy to your life like this. There's nothing, you know, there's no matter if you search for eternity, there's nothing that can bring joy and lasting peace in your life like the Lord Jesus Christ. This man walked and leaped and praising God. And the praising God, I think, is important because it makes us look back at what we were and what he has brought us into. And all we can do is praise him and thank him, because there's nothing we could have done. There's nothing we could have done. Is that, you know, for the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die to secure our salvation. And so the only what we can do is praise God. If Peter and John, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't use Peter and John that day, he would be still in the same state. And so we have to praise God. We have to leap. We have to have joy because of what he has brought us into. And it says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And this is what I talk about testimony, is that sometimes we think the things that we're going through is only affecting us, or people are not watching. The people saw him walking and they started praising God. Is that our lives that we live are like walking gospels. It's like walking testimonies. When people see us and a change in our lives, they say only the Lord Jesus Christ could have done that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could have changed his life. And I've known people, and even speaking of myself, when you go through dark times, you go through trials and testing, and the Lord Jesus Christ brings you out to the other side, you know what I'm saying? There's other people can say, wow, you know, I can't believe you've been through that. And it causes them to now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says that the people saw him walking and praising God. He didn't say anything. They just saw the testimony of his life. They saw his change in his life, and their lives were changed also. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So now we see also what the Lord Jesus Christ brings us into. We also have fellowship one with another. It says that he said the lame man held on to Peter and John. These were strangers. He didn't even know them a couple minutes ago. Maybe an hour ago, he didn't know them. He didn't know them a couple hours ago, but he was now holding on to them. And that's a beautiful thing, is that we're not, you know, we don't have to go on this Christian pathway alone. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, we have brothers and sisters. We have people who we can hold on to, can help us along this pathway. And this is what this young man, this lame man had. He had Peter and John to be able to hold on to. And we see after this happens that Peter started to preach. And he attributed this to the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And throughout this book, I think Lord Jesus, the name, the word of the name is mentioned 33 times. And the focus is on the name. And it says 16, in verse 16, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So I want to let you know that faith is what causes man to be healed. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, they could have told him to stand up, right? He could have laughed and said, come on, you see I'm crippled, you telling me to stand up? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you wasting my time? But as they reach out his hand, and he stood up. He had that faith. And this is what I'm calling each and every one of us to do. And we see people who are heading to a crisis eternity, who are maybe outside, they don't feel worthy. Let us reach out to them. Let us tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them know that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring joy to your life. He can change your life. He can change you. And I just want to go back to in the beginning when it says, now John went up together to the temple at the hour and prayer, the ninth hour. So this was an hour of prayer, but also the ninth hour was, I think it was like 3 o'clock, right? And so at 3 o'clock, that's one of the hottest times of the day, right? You know what I'm saying? That's the hottest times of the day. And I just want to let you know that for people heading to a crisis tourney, that's where it's getting, the world is getting hotter and hotter towards them, right? Because they're heading to crisis tourney, they're heading to hell. And so I just want to use that application to say, like, we have to pull them out of the fire. That's what I believe Jude in the scripture says, that, you know, is that we have to have compassion, pulling them out of the fire. These are people who are heading to hell. We have to have compassion upon them. We have to think this is the hottest point of the, as the day gets hotter and hotter in this world, we have to be the ones that we have to pull them out of the fire and let them know that they're heading to hell. As we go forth in chapter 4, it says, let's read verse 1. And now as they spoke, the people of the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preaching Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them to put them into custody until the next day, for this was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came out to be 5,000. And it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to spread the gospel to others. First, you're going to be ridiculed. I'll just be honest with you. The world doesn't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's still our duty to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that they put hands on him. They laid hands on him. They grabbed him up, right? It says here that they were disturbed. People were disturbed. You know, the Sadducees, and they're like, why are they telling about the Lord Jesus Christ? And it says also, as what we read further, it says in verse 13, it says that they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. Basically, they were calling them dumb. You know what I'm saying? They were saying, these guys are dumb. They're untrained. They're uneducated. They don't speak any, you know, thing. You know, how are they speaking this? And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with. And this is what we're going to have to deal with as we spread the gospel to others, is that we're going to be ridiculed. People are going to be disturbed by hearing the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says that they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And that's the thing, is that they won't like what you're saying. They may call you dumb, but they realize that they have been with Jesus. And that's the thing, is that that's the beauty of this portion I love, is that they realize they have been with Jesus. Let people know that we have spent time with Jesus. Let it show to others. Let people know that, you know what? They say something's different about this guy. He's a Christian, right? I mean, like, you know, this is what they were saying. They're Christians. Like, they knew from their life what you know, the power in which they spoke, the things in which they did, they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Let people see that we have been with Jesus. And it says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. When we bring the scriptures to people, when we live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, nobody can say anything against it. Look, they ain't going to like it, right? It may be disturbed, but it said they could say nothing against it. And they commanded them to go outside the council, and they conferred amongst themselves. What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them, and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. And I'm telling you, the world knows, everybody knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe they know it deep down, but they don't want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They said that we can't deny it. Then what's the problem? Accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. They said we can't deny it. They have nothing to say against it. But they said, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, from now on, so they speak no man in his name. And that's what the enemy wants. The enemy doesn't want us to say things about Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't want to share things of Lord Jesus Christ with others. But I'm telling you that people can't deny it. They can't, they can see it. And I'm trying to encourage us through this scripture that people know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe people know, but it disturbs them when they hear it because it brings their life to the forefront. It brings that, let them know that they're heading to a Christ eternity, that they're heading to hell, and they don't want to hear it. And it's funny that the Lord Jesus Christ in John, he says that the Jews says, unless we see a sign, we will not believe. They saw the sign. They said, we seen the sign. We what is done is evident. But it says that we cannot deny, and they still don't want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to tell you this afternoon is that many people will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything to do with you. It has to do with them. But I'm trying to encourage us that even throughout that, to share the gospel. Don't stop sharing the gospel. Continue living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Because you know what? The Lord will save others. Even though that these Sadducees and these other people didn't believe, we read that 5,000 people believed because of what was done. I know sometimes our minds are trained to think on the negative, right? Who didn't believe, right? The Sadducees didn't believe. These people didn't believe. But let's dwell on the positive that there are 5,000 people that did believe. There's a lame man who was at the gate, who was destitute, who did believe. And it says, as we go on, and let it be known to you all that to all the people of Israel, verse 10, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under men given among men by which we must be saved. And there's many people who come and say, you know what? If you believe in Muhammad, if you believe in Selassie, if you believe in Buddha, if you believe in, and there's many different names that people call different religions. But I'm telling you here, there's no other way that you can have salvation but through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other person. There's no other person who lived a sinless life, who came down from heaven, who died on the cross for us, who rose again for our sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that, look, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're over 40, under 40. And you know, that 40 mark is kind of a thing mark because I just recently went over 40, right? And so it's kind of like when I listened to the Bible all the time, when I heard that, I was like, whoa, over 40, what's that? You know what I'm saying? You know, and so it's kind of like a line. When you feel that, you know, I was watching something the other day on social media or something, and they were talking about the Golden Girls, the show. There used to be a show called The Golden Girls or something. And those women at that age were 40 years old. And I was like, I thought, when you're a child, you think those people are like 60, right? You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just saying that to say, like, you know what? When you think you think you're old, right now I feel young, but to other people, I probably feel old. What I'm trying to say is that that's the line where the world looks at somebody and says, well, this person is old or not. But the Lord Jesus Christ looks at everybody and saying they could be used for his honor, for his glory. If you're young, under 40, I'll tell you that don't wait, right? Because some people say they'll wait. They'll wait till I'm this age, right? You know what I'm saying? And then I'll do something. And if you're over that age, it's never too late. The Lord Jesus Christ can still use you for his honor and for his glory. So I'm trying to tell you that the Lord doesn't care about age. The world does, but he doesn't care. And also something that I was wondering about when I was reading this is that I'm sure this man, he lived in the Lord Jesus Christ's day, right? I mean, he was 40 years old, so we know he's over 40. So he was around when the Lord Jesus Christ was alive, right? Why he never tried to get to the Lord, or he never, you know, or maybe he didn't hear about him, that's something I wondered about too, is that these people just brought him to the edge of the temple and basically led him to beg all the time and stuff. But why didn't they try to go to the disciples or try to do things and stuff like that? And sometimes we have those thoughts, but then why people pass the church every day, right? They pass every day and they see the signs, or they hear Billy Graham on YouTube, or they hear some preacher on social media, or they hear something about the gospel, and they pass all the time. It doesn't affect them, right? Even though he was in this state, they know what state they're in. He knows what state he know he was crippled. He know he couldn't walk. I would have tried to get to the Lord. I would have tried to find some way to get to him. But he wasn't concerned with that. He was concerned with the, as I said, the immediate kind of comfort that he was looking for. And I just wanted to leave these scriptures with us this morning, is that when I was reading it, it's just something that it just made me feel that we have to have a hunger for people who are heading to a crisis eternity. We have to pray for them. We have to reach out to them. We have to say something to them. I mean, I know as they didn't have silver and gold, right? But we have something that's worth more than silver and gold. We have something that the world needs, right? And they don't know that they need sometimes, but we have to give it to them. We have to share it with them. And I want to encourage us that when we see people who maybe at our job, at our school, at work, wherever we are, who are heading to a crisis eternity, heading to hell, let us share the gospel with them. Let us encourage them that, you know what? We have a Savior who can change your life. There's people who are dealing with depression. There's people who are dealing with all kind of different things in their life. The Lord Jesus Christ changed this person's life. He was depressed. He was poor. He started leaping for joy. He started praising God. And the only person who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only person. Let me tell you, I know people who have millions and they're miserable. I know people who are poor. They're miserable. You know what I'm saying? Money doesn't change a person. It can, as I said, accentuates who you are, but it doesn't change who you are. It can't change your life. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? If you die tomorrow, you can't take any of it with you. You know what I'm saying? The only person who can change your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief on the cross was another one, right? He was a thief. He was a robber. He was a person who was heading to a crisis eternity, heading to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ changed his life in that instant. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. And you know what? It's so easy to become a Christian, right? But many people feel it's a hard thing to do, right? Because they feel like, well, I'm not worthy. I have to work to get to heaven. I have to do all these different things. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ has died and that he rose again, and you believe it in your heart, he says that thou shalt be saved. You know what I'm saying? Is that we have to share the gospel with people. We have to let them know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them. He can change their life. He can change them and change their walk. Let us be encouraged and let us continue to share the gospel. For his name's sake, amen. Amen.